Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Acts chapter number 24, I'm going to get right into the word this morning because that's why we're here. Amen. I don't want you to see me or even hear me. I want you to hear the Word of God this morning. That's what's going to help people. It ain't me. The choir, as good as the singing was and as wonderful. You know what helps people? It's the words behind what they were singing. It's the Spirit of God that indwells us believers. And when we worship Him and sing forth praise, that's when we can get some help. You know, the Bible tells us that it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I just put it this way, without God's Spirit, we're wasting our time this morning. Without God showing up, without God being here, without making much of God, we might as well go home. But that's not what I wanted. I want God to work this morning. I want Him to help us. And with His help, we will get some help. And so Acts chapter number 24, when you find your place in the Word of God, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to read several verses here, and for the sake of time, I've cut it down to about five or six verses, but then we'll talk about the context here in just a moment. But if you'll look in your Bibles, Acts chapter number 24, look in verse number 22, and we'll begin reading there. The Bible says, "And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way," by the way, when we see that in Scripture, it is speaking of the way. Now, you might sit there for a second and say, well, preacher, what is the way? Well, John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. And in the early, or in the first century, in the early church, the followers of Jesus, you know, today we have Baptists and we have Presbyterians and Methodists and Lutherans and holy cow, just umpteen hundreds of different beliefs and different denominations. Well, in first century church, they were called the way. And they were called the way because they followed Jesus Christ, who was the way, the truth, and the life. And so Felix, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore, he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Hey, can I just say that ain't back in that day, you heard that right. Literally, he kept Paul bound, so hopefully Paul would cough up some money to get out of prison. Old Felix here didn't know who he was dealing with, though, because that's the reason Paul was there. He wasn't there to get out. You think about us in our day. I'm gonna finish reading in just a second. But you think about you and I in our day. We have a hard enough time getting people to come to church. I'm just going to run that for a second. All right, we have a hard enough time getting people to come in church, and when they come in church, the only thing they can do is think about getting out of church so they could go on with their life. Paul wasn't like that, honey. Paul was in the prison, and he was aiming to stay there. Why? Because he was witnessing and preaching to these fellas. And so the Bible says in verse 27, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Now let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us today. Bless the reading of your word. Thank you for the wonderful music that we have heard, the songs that have been uplifted to you today. Father, I thank you for every heart and every life that is joined together here this morning and assembled together in this wonderful place, as a wonderful sanctuary you've given us to worship you in. God, I pray, Father, that you would help us as only you can today. Father, I need your touch as we preach. God, I pray that for a little while you would just use me as a hollow vessel through which you could speak your words and we could get help from you today, dear Father. God, we so desperately need you in our hour, in this time in which we live. We need you more than we ever have, Father. I pray you'd pour out your blessings on this service this morning. I pray that you would help me as I bring your word. And God, I pray, Father, that you would deal with that one that may be lost and undone without you this morning, God, and bring them to an altar of repentance. Father, save them for your glory. We love you, Father. Thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, to get some context on where we are reading at here in Acts chapter 24, Paul had just stood toe-to-toe with the council in Jerusalem with, as the Bible says, a good conscience before God. Now, many of the devout Jews hated Paul's message because of its challenge to their orthodox system. They had the same problem that we see in our day. A lot of religion is tied into a lot of money. Amen. What happened when Jesus came along? Well, Jesus challenged everything that they always knew, and Jesus challenged the motives. See, they had outward appearance, but inside they were destitute. They were not filled with the Spirit. They were doing everything in the flesh. And really, truly and honestly, for the Pharisees, for the Sadducees, for those religious leaders in that day, just like today, it was all about this right here. It ain't changed. None has it. And so what happened was Paul come along. You know what Paul preached? He preached the same thing Jesus preached. You know what I want to preach this morning? I want to preach the same thing Jesus preached. Hey, there's never been a better preacher than Jesus Christ. I don't know why preachers today think that we've got to get out of the book and we've got to go to something else and try to get people this way and that way. Hey, Jesus still works. And so when Paul come around, they hated his message because it challenged their system. And so what they did, just like with Jesus Christ, they spread many slanderous rumors and accusations about Paul, and that caused the leaders to step in to investigate their claims. However, up to this point, they could not find anything on Paul. You know why they couldn't find anything on him? Because there was nothing to find. And Paul, let me tell you this morning, studying the context of Acts 24 here, Paul had done nothing. He was guilty of nothing but preaching Christ, proclaiming Christ, presenting Christ, promoting Christ, and pleasing Christ. But they didn't like it, though. The council arranged for Paul to be sent to Caesarea to stand before this man, Felix. As Acts chapter 24 unfolds, Ananias, the high priest, he's the religious guy, he came down with Tertullus to inform the governor against Paul. Now, Tertullus was the royal spokesman for the governor's office. And Felix was the governor of the Roman province of Syria, which also included Judea. So through family connections, political manipulations, Felix had been appointed the governor. Again, things ain't changed much, have they? And here's Felix in a nutshell. He was politically ambitious and he was morally bankrupt. In other words, he just changed and believed whatever he needed to do so he could have the position. Things ain't changed much, have they? Now, Felix was out to make for himself a name politically, and the Apostle Paul would be a tremendous notch in his political belt. Now, Paul is brought before Felix, and this is where we pick up in our text today. We are reading about what happens after Paul is brought before Felix. And there are three things this morning that I want to point out that happened and preach on this simple thought, hitting the target. I want you to notice, number one, out of three things here, and then we'll go home, all right? Y'all listen fast, I'll preach fast, and maybe I won't keep you an hour, okay? But number one, There was a sermon aimed. There was a sermon aimed. I'm talking about hitting the target this morning. Now look in verse number 24. We see a sermon was aimed. The Bible says, and after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." So we read here that after some time, Felix comes in with his wife Drusilla to hear Paul. And what was Paul going to do? Paul wasn't trying to get out. Paul didn't use this time to beg him for freedom. What was he going to do? He was going to preach. He was going to preach. Now here's some, I'm going to give you some interesting facts. There's a lot of history in this message. Please go with me. It means something. We need to understand it, okay? If we don't understand the background of these people, the message is not going to have the same effect. So go with me, okay? Felix comes in with his wife Drusilla to hear Paul, and Paul is going to preach to him. Now here's some interesting facts about this woman, Drusilla. Drusilla's great-grandfather was the Herod that tried to kill the Lord Jesus. He ordered that all, y'all remember this? He ordered all of the male children up to 2 years old in Bethlehem to be killed. You find that in Matthew chapter 2. What was he trying to do? He was trying to prevent a king from being born. He was scared. He thought there was somebody going to replace. Hey, let me tell you something. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is nobody on this earth higher than our Savior. Amen. Oh, they try to be, just like Herod tried to be then. He tried to kill off. I mean, could you just imagine that? Killed all of the male childs, 2 years old and younger, trying to keep the baby Jesus from being born. Well, that was her great-grandfather. Well, her great-uncle killed John the Baptist and mocked the Lord Jesus. We read about that in Luke chapter number 23. Now, Drusilla was the youngest daughter of Herod Agrippa I, who was the king that had James murdered and who had Peter arrested and was about to kill Peter in Acts chapter 12. She's an interesting person. And that's her family. Now, I have already mentioned that Felix was morally bankrupt. He was a dirty politician. And now we learn these facts about his wife, Drusilla. And I wanted to mention those things because when Paul gets an opportunity to speak before them, he preaches. And honey, when he preaches, he doesn't pull any punches. You know what he did? He made a beeline for the cross. And he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 24, what did he preach? He preached the faith in Christ. Can I just say this? And John Butler, he wrote this, and I quote, he said, "There was absolutely no compromise in his message. Paul did not fear the one who had the keys to prison. He feared the one who had the keys to heaven." And can I take a minute just this morning to tell us all something? Let me just tell you this. We like to play around with our beliefs, don't we? We don't like to offend people. We don't want to stir the pot, do we? Can I just tell every one of us this morning, that is a lie from the pit of hell that we have been brainwashed into believing. Oh, don't stir that pot. Oh, you don't want to ruffle the... Oh, you know who they are? Can I tell you on the authority of God's word, when we look at the life of Paul, he did not care. You know why he did not care? Hey, let me just say, this world, y'all just sit back for a minute and think. You turn on TV, if you've got that, and you turn on radio, if you listen to that, and you hear advertisements and see billboards and everything. This world is not ashamed of what it believes. Why on earth should we be ashamed of what we believe? Y'all hearing this? Amen. There is no reason we need to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, the gospel is the power unto salvation. The gospel is the only hope for this generation. And most believers are cowering, saying, "Well, I don't want to ruffle their feathers." We need a good dose of what the Apostle Paul had. Yeah. Why should we tiptoe around the things that matter eternally? Why? We're not dealing with temporal things like the world is. We're dealing with the eternal state of soul. Yeah. We don't need to be ashamed, y'all. Think about this. Hugh Latimer, he was an English reformer. He preached often before King Henry VIII. And on one occasion, Latimer offended the king with his bold message. But what happened there was the king, or he ended up being commanded to preach the following weekend and make an apology of what he preached the week before. This is King Henry VIII telling him this. On the next Sunday after reading his text, Latimer addressed himself with these words, and I quote, "Hugh Latimer, dost thou know before whom thou art this day to speak? To the high and mighty monarch, the king's most excellent majesty, who can take away thy life if thou offendest. Therefore, take heed that thou speakest not a word that may displease, but then consider well, Hugh, dost thou not know from whence thou comest, unto whose message thou art sent? Even by the great and mighty God who is all present and who beholdeth all thy ways and is able to cast thy soul in hell. Therefore, take care that thou deliverest thy message faithfully." You know what Hugh Latimer proceeded to do? He proceeded to give the exact same sermon he preached the week before. This time, he preached it even with more fire and more fervency. You know why? Because the Bible tells us, hey, don't fear what can only take your life. Fear the one who hath power and can... I'm badly butchering that up. I hope y'all help me with that, okay? Fear the one who can take soul. You think about that. This world, I've often said it like this, and I'm sorry my brain is mush this morning. Y'all pray for me, but here's the thing. I've said it like this several times. The worst thing this world can do for a child of God is put us in an express lane to heaven. I mean, you think about it. You think about these martyrs. You think that, how were these martyrs, these men that burned at the stake for the sake of that wonderful King James Version Bible you've got in your lap this morning? You think about that. How were they able, as they were sitting there and being burned alive, could sit there and sing praises unto God and be okay? It's because that was not the end. You know what the world did to those men? They ushered them into glory, thinking they were getting rid of them. Hey, y'all just think, man, when I think about stuff like that, it just fires me up. No pun intended there. That was bad. That just came out. I didn't even think about it. Y'all, don't tell me y'all don't do stuff like that. Now I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry. Oh, me. But think about that. Think about that. Hey, the worst thing this world can... Hey, we ought to be bold. How many of us, I'm just saying it this morning, if we were given an audience with our president, what would we talk about? Yeah. You know what Paul did? He walked right up in there and said, repent. What Jesus do when he met with Nicodemus that night? He didn't pull no punches. He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't talk about the weather. He didn't talk about the state of the government. He didn't talk about the state of the religious system. He looked Nicodemus square in the eyes and said, "Ye must be born again if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven." And so we can take a message from that this morning. That's the kind of preacher the Apostle Paul was. When opportunity knocks, you and I, as children of God, should take every advantage of that opportunity. And Paul used his opportunity wisely right here. He preached a three-point sermon that day. You want to know why all the Baptist preachers preach three-point sermons? This is where we get it from. I'm joking. That's not where we get it from. But he preached a three-point sermon that day. Look in your Bibles in verse number 25. It says, "And as he, Paul," I'm talking about Paul here, "reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come." That was his three-point outline. He preached about righteousness. Hey, Paul declared the righteous requirements of God, his perfect standard, which everybody has come short of. There's no righteousness and uprightness in the character from Felix or Drusilla. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The rich man, the poor man, the successful man, the not so successful man, the guy with pretty clothes on, the guy that's got rags on. Hey, we have all come short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter where you came from. We've all. All means all. Amen. And when we talk to lost people, here's something they need to understand. In this day and hour, we've got churches everywhere preaching a false gospel, giving people a false hope. Okay, let me tell you something. When we talk to lost people, we need to understand, they need to understand who God is and who they are. And here's what the thing, here's what it all comes down to. God is holy. We aren't, because we've all fallen short of that glory. That's why we're sinners. God is righteous. We are sinners. People no longer see themselves as sinners. We talk about mistakes. We talk about weaknesses, inherited tendencies. We talk about faults, and we even talk about errors. But we do not face up to the fact of sin. We make all sorts of excuses. That's what we're good at, ain't it? Hey, I'm talking to the church, too. But a holy God, here's the message, a holy God demands righteousness, and He provides righteousness to those who trust in His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Hey, we can never be saved in our own righteousness of good works. We can only be saved through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we can put on His robe of righteousness, the Bible says we can be covered by His righteousness, because our righteousness is worth nothing. Well, so Paul preached about righteousness. He preached about temperance. Now, the word temperance is used four times in the New Testament. This word right here refers to having self-control. You know what? Man can control just about everything except himself. Here we see Felix and Drusilla, prime illustrations of the lack of self-control. When you study her history out, she had divorced her husband to become Felix's third wife. And though she was a Jewess, she lived as though God had never even given the law or the Ten Commandments at Sinai. Felix was morally bankrupt, I've already mentioned, who didn't hesitate to lie or to even murder in order to get rid of his enemies and promote himself. Self-control was something neither one of them knew anything about, yet they were both in positions of control, much like people today. Now, Paul was bringing a hard message to this governor and his wife. He preached about temperance, and then he preached about judgment. This is where he was bringing his message round third base and closing in on home plate, so to speak. See, faith in Christ concerns judgment to come. If either ruler knew anything about judgment before God, they apparently had never given much thought to that fact. Felix was an unjust judge. Now he is hearing that he must stand before God someday and give an account of his life and labor upon this earth. You see, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 tells us, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." Y'all, can I say one thing today? I've said a lot of things, but I want you to hear this. Judgment is coming. You cannot stop it. Men think they can stop it. People like Felix and Drusilla, they think they got it all under control. They are the top. Hey, let me tell you, we will be judged. We need to impress on the lost this morning that life is short, death is sure, and judgment is coming. John Phillips wrote this, and I quote, he said, "What were a few fleeting years of sin and self-indulgence compared with the eternity of woe that awaited the unrepentant? The great white throne lay ahead. There was no escape except by way of Calvary. They might be able to flout and manipulate, scorn or evade the judgment of men, but there awaited them the judgment of God. There remained the supreme court of the universe and Jesus, who must be faced, if not as Savior, then certainly as Judge." Can I tell you something today? When we go out into eternity, you're either going to face Him as a judge or as a Savior. What matters in this life? Let me tell you what matters. A lot of people think the career matters. A lot of people think the good works matter. A lot of people think who you are matters. You know what matters in this life today? More than anything else, there's only one thing that matters, y'all, this morning, and that is what you do with Jesus Christ. Because when you slip out into eternity, He is either going to be your Savior or He is going to be your judge. And there are only two places that's going to be the eternal state of your soul when you slip out into eternity. You're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. Oh, preacher, I just don't believe that. You don't have to believe it. That doesn't make what you believe true. We believe all sorts of things, don't we? People believe all sorts of things, and even we have a society today that believes that just because you believe it, you can say that that's true. Well, honey, I'm here to tell you this morning, the Bible has no gray area in those things. You can slip out into eternity believing what you want, but I'm here telling you the truth of God's word this morning. So we see we have a sermon. We have a sermon that was aimed, and then we have a man that was hit. It's point number two. Look in verse 25. And as he, this is talking about Paul again, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Look at the next two words. Felix trembled. Felix trembled. We see a man that was hit. And can I tell you this morning, the Holy Spirit never misses. He never misses. This sermon was aimed at Felix, and this sermon that was aimed hit Felix so hard that he trembled physically. It had such a spiritual impact that it affected Felix's body. Now, that word trembled means literally he was alarmed and terrified. You ever remember that? If you're a child of God this morning, you ever remember that? Hey, maybe this morning you're sitting here lost and you're feeling it right now. That's called conviction of the Holy Spirit. You don't need to reject it. I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to look at that in just a second. Felix trembled. The Spirit of God brought conviction of sin. It brought conviction of righteousness. It brought conviction of judgment. And many people respond differently when conviction comes on their lives. Some respond in faith and repentance, while other people respond in fear and rejection. Felix found himself on trial before the Lord and his messenger. He was found guilty in the court of heaven, and conviction of sin was upon his soul here in this verse. And the Roman leaders, I want you to understand something about this. The Roman leaders prided themselves in their ability to be indifferent and restrain their emotions under all circumstances. Can I just put it like this? In our day, it's like, well, I don't know what it is now, but back when I was growing up, it was man up. Hey, suck it up, buttercup. Be a man. Right? All right. I know things have changed a little bit. They're trying to demasculate. I can't get into all that. But anyways, I know things have changed a whole lot. But I'm going to tell you something. These men, these governors, these guys like Felix, they were men's men. They were tough under all circumstances. They did not even show emotion when something happened. They had to be tough. They were taught that from an early age. They were raised up that way. You don't show your emotions. You don't smile. You don't cry. You could get the worst news of your life. You sit there with a straight face. That's what these Roman governors were like. They were tough. But what happened to Felix when the Holy Spirit got a hold of him? They broke him down. Felix found himself on trial there, and these leaders, they prided themselves in this ability to hold it all together under all circumstances. But hey, a conviction from God gripped his heart, and he could not hide it. Paul had diagnosed the case here, and he offered the remedy, and now it was up to Felix to receive it. Hey, y'all, you can be sick you can be sick and you can have all sorts of things going on with you, and you can sit at home and just be miserable and not, you know, here's the thing. You need to get up, you need to go to the doctor, you need to get some medicine, right? If I wake up tomorrow morning and I've got all the symptoms of strep throat, for example, I know that's going around. I got my fever, my throat's killing me. I can look in there, I can say, I got all the symptoms. Hey, I'm not going to get any better until I go to that doctor and get some antibiotics. So, what was Paul doing? Same thing. Hey, this is preaching 101, men. You show people that they're sick, you offer the remedy, and thirdly, they have to receive it. Hey, that pharmacy up there on the hill can have all of the antibiotic that you can handle, but it's not going to do you any good if you don't go get it. If you don't accept it, if you don't take it. You can even go get it, and you could go home, and you could set that bottle right there on your counter and never take one pill, and it will not do you any good. So can I just say it like this? Paul took him as far as he could take him. I think it's important
for us to see right here. We've got Felix here. Felix is trembling. It was up to him to receive it, and he trembled. He was hit, but he only trembled. He did not trust. This leads us to the third point this morning, and I'm almost finished. This is number three. We have a sermon that was aimed. We have a target that was hit. But then we see an opportunity that was missed. An opportunity that was missed. Look in verse 25, the latter part. It says, here we've got Paul reasoning of righteousness, temperance, and judgment. That's his three-point sermon. Then we see Felix trembling. That's the Holy Spirit conviction upon him. And then look at what it says, and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. It's an opportunity that was missed. See, Felix was under conviction. He was terrified, but he responded the wrong way. What did he do? He procrastinated. He put off for tomorrow what he could have and should have done right that minute. And when God is dealing with your soul, it is time to get right. Well, not ever put it off. Dear sinner friend, if you're here this morning and you're lost and God is convicting you, hey, don't, you shouldn't even wait till the end of this service. Get on this altar and get saved. Hey, dear Christian friend, if God is convicting you of something in your life, some kind of sin, hey, maybe you're guilty of going around here and tiptoeing around. Hey, you might have a boss that you need to talk to about Christ. You may have a friend you need to talk to about Christ. And when you get with them, all you ever do is chit-chat about everything else. Hey, maybe you need to get on the altar and get right today. The point of the matter is, if conviction is upon your soul, do not wait. He put off for tomorrow what he could have and should have done right then. Hey, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says this, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Now that word secured, that's a $5 word that means helped. He helped thee. This is the word of God speaking here. I have helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Now, Felix's name means happy. I find that ironic. Felix's name means happy, but yet he rejected the only pathway that leads to true happiness. He tried to gain, he was interested in treasure. I mentioned that when I was reading the scripture a while ago. He kept Paul where he was in hopes that Paul would cough up some money. So he let him out. Hey, you know, just like in our society, if you got enough money, you can make the world go around. There's only one thing money won't get you today. You know what it is? I'll be completely honest. There's that one thing money won't get you, and that's heaven. As far as this world's concerned, money can get you everywhere. But it won't get you to heaven. So here's the thing. He was interested in treasure, but he let go of the treasure of the gospel. You see, this world treasures all of the things that it shouldn't. And sadly to say, many people in our churches today treasure all of the things that they shouldn't. My daddy used to say it like this, be careful not to drive your tent pegs too deep in this old world. We forget we're pilgrims and strangers. We're here temporarily, child of God. Don't get too attached to the world because it's all going away. Amen. So the governor, I mean, this governor, Felix, he had sat in judgment of Paul, but in reality, Paul was sitting in judgment of him. See, everything's flip-flopped. Now, the governor's mind was enlightened, his emotions were stirred, but his will would not yield. He tried to gain the world, but as far as we know, he lost his soul. He procrastinated himself right into hell. Don't you look at the last part in verse number 26. No, verse number 27. So in verse 26, he's talking about he hoped also that money should have been given to him of Paul that he might loose him. But then it says, wherefore he sent him the oftener and communed with him. Why did Felix do that? He did that in hopes that Paul would cough up the money. But every time that he met him, no doubt Paul pointed him to Jesus. But look in verse 27. But after 2 years, 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. What happened? There's a changing of the guard that takes place. Festus was done. 2 years. Can I just say this morning, I didn't get saved the first time God dealt with me. And I dare say most of y'all didn't. Aren't you glad we serve a patient God? But let me tell you something, church. Let me tell you something, sinner friend, if you're here this morning listening. There'll be a time that God will leave you alone if you keep rejecting Him. We see this in the life of Felix here. Felix's time was up. He chose to leave Paul bound. Paul never did cough up that money, but he sure did give him the gospel. And we read nothing else of Felix after this verse right here. You know, procrastination is one of Satan's most effective tools to use on men and women today. Can I just tell you this? The great expositor, Clarence McCartney, he told a story about a meeting that took place in hell. He said, Satan called his 4 leading demons together and commanded them to devise a plan that would keep more people from being saved. One demon said, hey, I've got it. I'll go to earth and tell people there is no God. And Satan looked at him and said, no, that will never work. People can look all around them and tell that there is a God. Another demon popped up and he said, hey, I've got it. I'll go to earth and tell them there's no heaven. Well, Satan replied to him, well, everybody knows there's life after death, and everyone wants to go to heaven, don't they? I think that's pretty general, isn't it? Everybody wants to go to heaven. The discussion and the debate starts with, how do you get to heaven? Amen? And so the devil shot that one down. So a third demon, he popped up and he said, hey, let's go tell them there is no hell. Which Satan said, hey, no, conscience tells them that their sins will be judged. You know, God put that in every single one of us from the time we were a baby. Yeah. Finally, this last demon, he piped up. He said, hey, I've got it, guys. I've got it. I've got it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to earth, and I'm going to tell people there is a God, that there is a heaven, that there is a hell, but they ain't got to be in no hurry because they got plenty of time to get there. And I think it's quite obvious. Now, I don't know if that happened. It sounds good, though, don't it? You look around at our world today, and I'd about dare say it's very plausible that that did happen. Because what do we got? People, everybody wants to go to heaven. They don't want to think about it right now, though. They want to go out here and live any other way that they want. They want to be their own God. Do what they want to do, when they want to do it, and they don't want anybody, especially not the preacher, telling them that that's wrong. And then they don't think about judgment because that's something that is far away. Oh, man, I'm 38 years old. I've got at least another 40 years. I may walk out of here and have a heart attack this morning. We better be ready. That is the lie of the devil, is that you've got all the time in the world. Hey, you walk out in this cemetery out here and you'll find every age out there. You go to the cemetery at Shining Light Baptist Church, you find every single age. Death is no respecter. When it's your time, he's going to come knocking and you've got an appointment and there is no being late for it. Yeah. Apparently that lie has worked. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people slide off into hell every single day because they're waiting, just like Felix here, for a more convenient season. So we see an opportunity that was missed. God dealt with him. God worked in his life. God sent his Holy Spirit to convict that man. He trembled and he rejected. And after so long, time was up. The sermon was aimed, the target was hit, but the opportunity was missed. Miss Tanya, go ahead and come on up here and play softly for us. The sermon, it was aimed. It hit the target. But the opportunity was missed. Hey, he was, when I think about Felix, he was going to be all that a mortal could be tomorrow. No one would be kinder and braver than he tomorrow. A friend who was troubled and weary, he knew, who'd be glad of a lift, and he needed it too. On him, he would call and see what he could do tomorrow. But the fact is, he died and faded from view, and all that was left when living was through was a mountain of things that he intended to do tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. The only thing I know is who holds tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to wake up in the morning. I'd like to think that I will. And I'm thankful today that if I don't, I know where I'm going to be. But I know a whole host of people. They'll sit, they'll tell you they're lost. They'll tell you they're going to hell. But they'll say, I'm just not ready. They have no idea what they're gambling with. I don't know this morning if there's somebody here that's lost. You're not promised another minute. You're not promised to leave those doors. How can you gamble with your eternity like that? Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Now is the accepted time. This altar is open. Don't gamble with the most precious thing that you have, and that's your eternal soul. Dear Christian friend, don't gamble with that loved one. Hey, you might know where you're going to be if you don't wake up tomorrow. But what about that friend of yours? What about that family member of yours? What about that co-worker? What about those people around you? There's nothing more important than giving the gospel of Christ to somebody. The best time to come trust Jesus is now. And the best time to tell others the good news of the gospel is right now. Let's all stand by our heads.